123 again, sorry for the delay. Okay, so here we're going to get into a very important, relevant topic about how one accepts Shabbos, or maybe to say it differently, by lighting candles, does a person accept Shabbos? And if so, is there a workaround? And that is what we're going to be discussing here on page 123 with, we'll start with a source called the Halachos Gedolos. The Halachos Gedolos is a very, very, very ancient book, probably one of the earliest books that we have after the Gemara. It was written in the 8th century. This is the Gaonic period. There's a lot of academic debate about who exactly wrote it. Doesn't really matter to us. One way or another, became an incredibly influential book impacting halacha throughout, and it's quoted all the times by the earlier sources. So the Halachos Gedolos writes as follows in source 24. He writes like this: Vehecha debaye aluke ner Chanaka v'ner Shabbos. In a situation where a person has to light both Chanukah candles as well as Shabbos candles, i.e., on Friday of Chanukah. Right, on Friday of Chanukah, you are facing two sets of lightings. One, you have to light the menorah. B, you have to light the Shabbos candles. So which one do you do first? We all know the answer, but it's going to be relevant to our discussion. Bereisha madlik de Chanukah. First, you light the Chanukah candles. Vahadar madlik de Shabsa. And then you light the Shabbos candles. Why? The adlik de Shabbos bereisha. Because if you were to write the Shabbos candles first, itzerle la luke de Chanukah, it would be forbidden to light the Chanukah candles. Mishum de Kabbalah le Shabbos, de Kabbalah le Shabbos alei, because the person would have accepted Shabbos upon themselves by lighting those Shabbos candles. Right? So says the Baal Hilchos Gedolos, he's often described as the Bahag. He writes that I have to first light the Chanukah candles and then the Shabbos candles. Why? Because if I were to light the Shabbos candles first, I'm stuck. I already accepted Shabbos, and how can I light the Chanukah candles afterwards? Okay, this sounds pretty reasonable. Something that we all know, right? On Friday this past year, when we had Shabbos fall out on, when Chanukah fell out on Friday, we first lit the menorah, and then we light the Shabbos candles. And again, he's saying because by lighting the Shabbos candles, clearly, so he's stating clearly over here, lighting Shabbos candles causes a person to accept Shabbos. Now, he doesn't quote the authors of this book over here, meaning Mizrahi, Torah Me'arbanan, don't quote the rest of the Bahag. The Bahag goes on to prove this from a halacha that applies to Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, there is, and we're going to talk about this more, maybe we'll have some time today to talk about it in the context of Shabbos, but there's a concept called Tosefes Yomtiv and Tosefes Shabbos, the idea of adding on to Shabbos. We know that Shabbos begins at sunset, because that's when it might already be night. So as soon as the sun sets, that's when it begins. And let's just talk about Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the day begins, at nightfall, or a sunset rather. And there is a halacha you're supposed to add a little bit to Yom Kippur. Okay, we'll see. There might be a similar halacha to Shabbos and to Yom Tov. We'll get into it. The idea is you're supposed to add a little bit. And the Gemara tells us that when does it begin? How do you add to Shabbos? How do you add to Yom Kippur rather? As soon as you say the brach of Shachianu, right? Remember, in the beginning of Yom Kippur, after Kol Nidre, we say Shachianu. When you say Shachianu, that's when it begins. So by saying Shachianu, it begins. So the Baal Hilchos Gedolos says, clearly you see, that even though it's not yet Yom Kippur, even though, ideally you're supposed to say Shachianu well before sunset. I don't know a single shul that actually pulls that off. You're supposed to start Kol Nidre early enough, and by the time you finish Kol Nidre, you're supposed to get, most shuls, they start Kol Nidre around, a little bit after candlelighting, and Kol Nidre schleps out, and so by the time they get to the Shachianu, it's already past sunset. But in an ideal world, and maybe there are shuls that do this properly, we don't. But it's fine. Whatever. We'll come back to why it's okay. But the point is that in an ideal world, you would say Shachianu before sunset, and when you say Shachianu, which is said in the beginning of Yom Kippur, that's how you accept Yom Kippur on you. All right? And so the Baal Hilchos Gedolos says, look, you're accepting Yom Kippur by saying that bracha of Shachianu, you accept Yom Kippur early. Similarly, when you light the candles or you say the bracha on the candles, you're accepting Shabbos, and it's the same type of idea. So he's extrapolating from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. Okay? That's the basic gist of what the Baal Hilchos Gedolos writes.
That's halacha?
Which part of it?
The accepting Shachianu.
By saying Shachianu on Yom Kippur?
So a woman could never drive to shul after she says Shachianu for Kol.
We'll see. Good. We'll come back to that question.
She says Shachianu earlier than the men.
Correct. So we'll come back to that question. Okay. So that's the basic gist of the Baal Hilchos Gedolos. And now let's see how the Ramban responds. Just an interesting tidbit. The Ramban is writing, in the 13th century. The Ramban lived, where did he live for most of his life? in Spain. Spain, the Spanish community was a very interesting community, whereas in, you know, in Germany and France, the communities were very, very, you know, pious and devout and very, very much, you know, just had this very much, you know, totally immersed Jewish lifestyle. The Jews in Spain were much more acculturated. The religious observance for many was not so strong necessarily. It was an interesting community, and the Ramban was the leader of this community. And you find something interesting in the Ramban. Very often, there are other writers during his time who would respond to some of the writings found in the Gaonic period. Again, the Gaonic period is like from the 8th century until the 10th century, 11th century, and they would, you know, argue and basically just like throw it out. The Gaonim are wrong, and this is the right way of interpreting the Talmud, this is the right halacha. The Ramban was very sensitive to that, and the Ramban would oftentimes defend the Gaonim. Why would he do so? So, you know, historians suggest that the reason he was so adamant about defending the Gaonim, even at times when he would sometimes disagree, is because he was concerned that people, you know, if they would basically see that all the halachos of the past were not important, you know, or that they were all wrong, then it would weaken even further the religious observance of those living in his time. And therefore, he typically is very defensive around anything the Gaonim writes. Even if he sometimes disagrees, he's usually very defensive. Over here, interestingly, he comes out like there's like guns blazing against the writing of the Baal Hilchos Gedolos. He is not in his typical deferential writing. He argues vehemently with this opinion of the Baal Hilchos Gedolos. Okay, so let's see how he does. So source 25. He's writing this in his commentary on the Talmud and Maseches Shabbos. He writes, "Vekama." First, he quotes the Baal Hilchos Gedolos. Then he writes, "Vekama hu rachuk zehatam." This is so distant. Okay, he says what? He says, "I'm not even like this is such a foreign idea, right? It's a very distant idea, very foreign idea." He says, "Im amru biyoma kipurim kain." If this notion of accepting something early was said about Yom Kippur, Bisha Amar Zman, when the person said Shachiyanu, Mishum Shemosifim Michol Ala Kodesh, because there you add from the weekday onto the holy, meaning there's this concept of adding onto Yom Kippur, the Ochlin, you would be eating, Uposkin Miba Odyom, you stop eating while it's still day. The Yachal Hula Hafsik, Ulakabil Alav, Shelo Yochal Miba Odyom, and a person is able and encouraged to accept upon themselves to stop eating a little bit before Yom Kippur begins, the kivan sha'amar zman, and once you said the word shachiyanu v'kiyanu v'kiyanu l'zman hazeh to this day, that means you're saying it's Yom Kippur already. Hare kiblu me'ata. So you clearly accepted Yom Kippur upon yourself. However, halakas ner Shabbos, when it comes to the lighting of Shabbos candles, imid likum mod yom, if you lit early, ma kibul Shabbos yesh bekach. What acceptance of Shabbos is there? The only reason the person is lighting the Shabbos candles early is they won't be busy. They have a whole bunch of things to do. I don't want to forget lighting candles. Let me light the candles now. It's not because I'm accepting. Meaning, when a person stops eating, I say Shachiyanu, and I'm stopping to eat. Okay, I've accepted Yom Kippur early. But lighting the candles, says, what is it about lighting candles that is saying, it's because I'm accepting Shabbos? Now, you have to keep in mind, imagine you lived in the ancient world, right? Not pre-electricity. Right? So for you and I, you know, lighting candles, what do you mean? I'm only lighting candles because that's what I do for Shabbos. But in the old world, it's the equivalent of saying, you know, I have to turn on all the lights. I have to plug in. It's like saying, when I plug in the crock pot, I accepted Shabbos. No, I plug in the crock pot because you know how many times I forgot to plug in the crock pot? That's why I plug in the crock pot. So similarly, lighting the candles was the equivalent of turning their lights on, right? So the Ramban's saying, what kind of statement is this? The only reason they're lighting the candles now is because they don't want to be busy with, for, you know, they have to do this, they have to do that. So they light candles because they're lighting candles in their home, right? That's the notion. Again, we have this, you know, modern skewed version of Shabbos candles. Lighting candles was making sure there's light in the house. They have to, it's one of the jobs, one of the things on the checklist to do before Shabbos. Im kain, if so, hidlik ner shel Shabbos, lo yadlik ner acheres. A person's going to light the Shabbos candles, they're, you know, by their table. They're not going to light a candle near their bedroom or something. In other words, imagine what happened back then, was a person would say the bracha, they light some candles by their table, and then they light the candles throughout the house. That's what they would do. Again, it's foreign for us because we have all our lights on, but that's not the way it was. The Adraba, on the contrary, lo b'mneishu Shabbos hu madlik, he says now cleverly, he says, it wasn't because, they're not lighting because it's Shabbos. El m'neisha dayin eino Shabbos madlik. I'm lighting precisely because it's not Shabbos. The notion of lighting is specifically something I can only do on the weekday. So Ramban's saying, what are you talking about? I know this is hard for us to hear because we're so used to this notion that lighting Shabbos candles tells us we accepted Shabbos. The Ramban saying, you know, the whole premise of this assumption is incorrect. Again, let's just review his arguments. The first thing is that the Bahag, the first source we saw, compare this to Yom Kippur. He said, on Yom Erev Yom Kippur, I'm supposed to add on to Yom Kippur. And so I stop eating early. And in doing so, that accepts Shabbos. So he says, okay, there I stop early in order to accept Yom Kippur, excuse me. He says, what does it have to do with lighting candles prior? He says, the only reason you're lighting candles prior is because I just want to get my house set up. And that's why I'm lighting candles. And he says, on the contrary, the whole notion of, whereas stopping to eat and saying Shachianu, that is a sign, oh, look, I'm accepting Yom Kippur. I'm doing Yom Kippur things. Lighting candles is something you precisely cannot do on Shabbos. So how could that action, it's like saying, you know, it's like, I don't have a good analogy. Whatever, the point is that, but I'm doing Chilul Shabbos to accept Shabbos, right? I'm lighting candles to accept Shabbos. That's not Kabbalah Shabbos. What is this, right? I see all your puzzled looks. What do you mean? That's what we do. Okay, but again, we're peeling back to the early sources, the Ramban saying, it's not true. Lighting Shabbos candles is not a way of accepting Shabbos. Yes?
He's saying, by stopping eating early, the not eating is the avoda of Yom Kippur, so by...
That's one of his arguments, correct. Yes, 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 exactly. Meaning, right, that's a way of saying, oh, look, I'm already in the Yom Kippur zone, right? I said Shachianu, I'm saying that today, I'm stopping to eat. With lighting candles, he's saying, first of all, the action is a whole action, it's a weekday action, and B, it's, I'm not, who says I'm doing it because I'm accepting Shabbos? I'm doing it to have my house prepared. Fair? Okay, so let's go, let's see what the halacha is. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Medvarim. Okay. Okay. He brings another proof. I'll just summarize it. In the next page, he brings a proof. The Gemara tells us that they would blow a shofar on Erev Shabbos in their communities to tell people that Shabbos is coming. In Yerushalayim, they do this, right? They have a siren, so they play music in certain communities. It's really nice. It really gets you into, but they have different time frames. The Gemara speaks about the fact that there were a couple of shofar blows that were made, and it talks about between the second to last and the last shofar blow, it says that there's enough time between the second to last one and the last one, enough time to roast a small fish. So the simple read of the Gemara is that it's just giving you like a time frame, right? They didn't have watches. It wasn't like 2.5 minutes. It's basically saying the amount of time it takes to roast a small fish, which if we lived in the ancient world, we knew we had a, you know, that we were accustomed to that. That was how they told time. The Ramban understands the Gemara to mean that the reason they waited that amount of time is because by that second last blowing, you may be that person who says, oh my gosh, I forgot to get ready for Shabbos. I need to get something ready. So you could make, it's enough time to make like macaroni and cheese or something, you know, like something really quick, you know, something that would take not a lot of time, some toast. I don't know, fine. Toast, you know, that would be enough time to do that. And literally people were actually roasting, little bits of fish. Now the Gemara also tells us that the women will light candles at the second to last blowing. So the Ramban says clearly people were doing malacha, people were preparing for Shabbos after lighting candles. And therefore the Ramban says this notion of accepting Shabbos just because you lit candles, it's just not true. It's just not true, okay? So let's see how the Shulchan Aruch ultimately rules, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Let's see. Source 26. We're on page 124, source 26. Lebahag, again, according to the Bahag, that's an acronym for Baal Hilchos Gedolos, the author of Halachos Gedolos, okay? He kiven shehidlik ner shel Shabbos, according to that opinion, which we saw in source 24, once I light Shabbos candles, chala lav Shabbos, Shabbos begins, v'neser b'malacha, and it's forbidden to do work. Val Pisa, and according to this, Noagos Ksas Nashim, some women have the custom, Sha'achar Shebarchu, Veliku Haneros, after they made the bracha and lit candles, Mashlichos La'eretz Hapsila, Shebiyadan, Sheliku Ba, they drop the match which they lit from. That wasn't a match, it was a wick, whatever. But the thing they lit from, they drop on the ground as opposed to extinguishing it, right? Because they, according to the Bahag, if I lit the candles, I said the bracha, I accepted Shabbos, and therefore I just put it on the ground, okay? They don't extinguish it. There are those who say, Shemasne kodim shilika, she'ena mekabeles Shabbos, ad sheyomar hachazen barchu, moel. Even within this opinion of the Bahag, there are those who say that if she stipulates, meaning the person lighting the candle stipulates and says, I am not accepting Shabbos, until the quote-unquote regular time, what's the regular time for accepting Shabbos? in the ancient world, they would say, you know, part of the time that Shabbos begins is when you say Baruch Hu. Why Baruch Hu? Because Baruch Hu is the first part of Maariv, and that's when Shabbos would begin. Now, nowadays, this is prior, or at least around the time. It's not so clear exactly when, but we have something called Kabbalah Shabbos. From Lechun Aranana, Lechadodi, those are all later additions, okay? They were certainly not done in the times of the Gemara. At a later point, they started adding different tefillos. Nowadays, the modern, you know, the not-so-modern Poskim point out even the Shulchan Aruch is going to say it. So let's keep on reading. V'yeshom Shein Mo'ola. There are those who say that even making the stipulation doesn't work. Okay. V'yesh cholkim abal hilchos gedolos va'omrim. There are those who argue on the bal hilchos gedolos. Who's that? The Ramban. And they say, she'ein kabbalos Shabbos t'haloi balakos aner, ela b'tfilas arvis, that accepting Shabbos is not connected to lighting candles, rather it's connected to davening Maariv. She'kivan sh'amar ha'chazin baruchu, as soon as the chazin says baruchu, ha'kol porshin mimalachtam, they all stop working, u'lididan, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, and to us, kivan she'ischilu mizmar shir liyom ha'shabbos, have kabarchu liditu. When we say mizmar shir liyom ha'shabbos, because again, in the times of the Gemara, they didn't have Kabbalah Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch's writing in the 16th century, we have something called Kabbalah Shabbos, and we get to the point of Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. That's the tefillah right after Lechadodi. That's when Shabbos begins. Now, I want to be clear. All this is assuming that it is not yet sunset. If it's already sunset, whether you said Baruch Hu, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, lit candles, it doesn't matter. Shabbos begins. So we're talking about, I guess we'll call early Shabbos or something like that, or anything that's happening before sunset. But once sunset comes, whether you say Baruch Hu or not, Shabbos is there, right? So again, let's just quickly summarize. The Shulchan Aruch, in ruling on this, says like this. He says, again, if it's already sunset, it's Shabbos. Discussion's not relevant, okay? But then he brings down the opinion. First, he brings down the opinion of the Baal Hilchos Gedolos, who says that by lighting Shabbos candles, that's you accept Shabbos. He says, though, there's a debate within that opinion. Let's say I stipulate, I am not accepting Shabbos by doing this. Does that work? One opinion says yes, one opinion says no. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, but there are those who argue and say that lighting candles is not a way of accepting Shabbos, and rather it's when the Chazan gets to Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, or Baruch Hu, that's when Shabbos begins. We haven't yet seen the Ramah, but yes. Mm-hmm. With the exception of the Gaonim. The Gaonim have a really bad rap within Jewish halachic history. I can't explain it to you, but they take great, the Rishonim take great issue. The Ramban was one of the defenders, the Gaonim, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Once the Mishnah is completed, you can't argue the Mishnayos. Once the Gemara is completed, you can't argue the Gemara. That's an internal meaning. There you have unanimous agreement. It's like halachically seen, almost like the equivalent of a Sanhedrin. When everyone, it's like our best we could do absent a Beis HaMikdash and a Sanhedrin. That's because it's universal. Once you get past that period, the lines are less firm. So you will have Achronim, you'll have the Vilna Gaon arguing with Rishonim, you'll even have Moshe Feinstein arguing with a lot of Achronim before him and not arguing with Rishonim, but coming close to it, the lines blur a lot more once you get past the time frame of the Gemara.
Thank you. The other thing is, it says, Shabaruchu v'hidliku. So when he said that women don't blow out the petila,
mm-hmm.
he says they break the bracha and then they light.
Right.
Very interesting, because then there the lighting would be accepting Shabbos, not the bracha.
Correct.
And then that's different, I guess.
Correct. So that is, again, Rav Yisrael Karo. So there is a big debate among Svardim. I'm skipping a couple of those sources. I think many, if not all, Ashkenazi over here. But there is a big debate about what to do, what the view of the Svardim is in terms of, which we'll get to soon, that as you all know, we do it backwards over here. We light, and then, at least for women, they light, and then you light, and then you say the bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch is saying it. The normal, what would be normal to bracha light? What's that?
At least for women.
At least for women. Yeah, I'll come back to that. Why that's
a man's lighting is different.
Correct. Wow. We'll see why in a moment. Correct. 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 We'll come back to that. Okay. Yes.
If a man makes Shabbos early,
mm-hmm.
but a woman doesn't want to, his wife doesn't want to.
So he said Rocco and Shul.
Yeah.
But it's still not sundown.
So the postgame, you know, bottom line is you find over there, okay, so I don't know if we're going to get into it in more detail, but the bottom line, there's an ideal that a family accepts Shabbos together. It's an ideal. It's not a mandatory thing. As my wife will tell you numerous times, I'll come home from 7 o'clock davening over here in the summer, and I'll say good Shabbos. She'll say happy Friday, and she'll go light Shabbos candles because we're human. But whatever, we try to accept it as a family, but it's not correct. Yes.
If you accept it as a family, and the wife lights candles at the exact time to light candles, how can you say mincha
l'chol? It's a good question. We're going to get into mincha. Through that, the question is, so we'll even see in the terminology of the Ramah, he already kind of alludes to the fact that it's really only the person lighting. Let's read the Ramah, then we're going to come back to the point. So it says the Ramah. The Ramah says, v'minag she'osa isha hamadlekes. The Ramah writes, the minag is that the woman lighting, mekabeles Shabbos behadlaka, that she does accept Shabbos with the lighting. So he writes, the minag is like the Bahag. The Ramah oftentimes will incorporate the Bahag, and this is why many of you are, you know, this is what you have in many, I think, many of your minds, that no, lighting Shabbos candle is the way of accepting Shabbos, right? This Ramban is not so well known to many of us, right? So he says, the minag is that when a woman lights, she accepts Shabbos, im lo she'es natchila, unless she made a stipulation. The Ramah writes explicitly that making a stipulation would work. And then he says even further, v'afilu tenai belev sagi, even a stipulation in one's heart, even without verbalizing, such a stipulation works. Now that is typically a very weak stipulation in halacha. Typically when you make a stipulation on an action, you typically do need to verbalize it. Why is he so lenient over here? Probably because of the Ramban. Well, okay, you're saying practically, could be. I would say, maybe just coming from the academic perspective, is that the Ramban says that you're not even accepting Shabbos to begin with, right? So the bar for saying that candles are not causing you to accept Shabbos is much lower than a typical scenario. And therefore, the Ramah says, if a woman has a mind, and I keep on saying a woman deliberately, if a woman has a mind, before lighting candles, that I am not accepting Shabbos, the Ramah says, it's okay. We'll see some later postgame add a few caveats to that. But the Ramah says, all she has to have in mind is, I'm not accepting Shabbos, and that's totally fine. And then I just want to read the last line of, Al-Shar b'nei habayis mutarim b'malacha ad barchu. It's only for the person lighting. He writes that all the other people in the household, the children, the adults, everyone else, it's the person lighting who's accepting Shabbos when they do so. But everyone else, it only comes about when they daven. And again, if they're not davening, then at sunset, that's when they all accept Shabbos. So interesting enough, at least according to the Ramban, you know, postgame, you know, suggest that the family accept Shabbos even without doing. Let's say, you know, I'll use my household as an example. My daughter's don't like going to shul. Look so much Friday night. They don't go to shul, so they're at home. So my wife lights, right? So will they? So me and my son, we're gonna accept Shabbos, Mizmor Shel Yom Shabbos, or whatever. My wife lights, right? So technically speaking, you know, this happens sometimes. My wife forgot to plug in the chillin pot, whatever it is. My daughter didn't accept Shabbos in doing so. Assuming again, it's not sunset yet. If it's sunset, everything's gone, right? So ideally, the later poskim say that everyone should, you know, I'm accepting Shabbos or whatever at that point. But technically speaking, they didn't accept Shabbos. It's only the person lighting the candles at that time. Okay, that's what the Ramah says. So again, the Ramah, the Minag Ashkenaz is, and we'll see some stipulations on this. The Minag Ashkenaz is like the Bahag that lighting the candles except Shabbos only for the person lighting, and if she were to make a stipulation, even just think about a stipulation, that would be enough. So if she were to say, I need to drive, someone just asked, I need to get to shul, right? I need to get to someone's house. So before I do so, I say, you know, even in my head, I'm not accepting Shabbos by lighting these candles. According to the Ramah, she would be allowed to drive to shul, to her friends, or whatever at that point, and that would be fine. And even when lighting, it's only the person lighting that is accepting Shabbos. No one else in the family is accepting Shabbos in doing so. Again, we'll see some limitations on the Ramah. Yes.
Okay,
sure. I'm not sure.
If they're kind of used to doing it that way?
I'm not sure.
It's very helpful to be like,
Yeah, I'm sure your daughters will appreciate you calling them a Shabbos guy. But anyway, but it's helpful, right? It's always important to give everyone all the information possible. Question is only I certainly wouldn't hide this fact from them. The only question is this a minhag that they accepted? Right. I'm not 100% sure. I need to look into it.
Davening mincha, you're not supposed to daven mincha after you've accepted Shabbos. Let's say you can only daven mincha after you light, let's say it's hard to daven mincha before you light candles. Is it wrong to make the stipulation every week,
So we'll come back to mincha. Yes.
Remember last week we said that when the mother lights, it covers everyone in the house.
It fulfills their obligation of having candles lit. But that is separate, meaning that's what we're seeing over here, meaning having candles lit is not equivalent with, accepting Shabbos necessarily. So you're right. In other words, when someone lights in the house, that person is ensuring that the mitzvah of halakos neros is taking place. But the mitzvah of halakos neros does not necessarily go hand in hand with Kabbalah Shabbos for everyone, right? So those two are not necessarily linked. That's precisely, right, that's what we're seeing over here. And so for that person, again, according to our minhag, they did accept Shabbos, but again, it's not going to be for everyone. Okay.
Everyone in the house is thinking that they're covered with the candles, therefore they're also accepting Shabbos.
Correct. So again, it's certainly the right and ideal thing to do. You know, the reason this all comes from a topic which we're probably not going to get a chance to explore today, and that is the notion of adding on to Shabbos. It's the reason that the whole concept of lighting 18 minutes or in some places a half hour before Shabbos is for this reason. We're trying to add on to Shabbos. So if those people in the household are saying, now I'm starting Shabbos, then that's great. They started Shabbos, and that's a good, meaning it's a good thing. It's not like, again, I don't think we should walk around telling, you know, to the questions over here. We shouldn't go around telling people, you know, do whatever you want until the last minute. No. There's a special value in adding to Shabbos. The question is, technically, are they compelled to? The Ramah saying they're not compelled. Is it the right thing? 100%. We should all be accepting Shabbos early whenever we can. Not always practical, but that's the ideal thing to do. Yes.
If you accept very close to sunset, very far into the 18 minutes, should you be adding at the end?
The two are independent, but there's value on both ends. I wouldn't say they're not linked. But there is value on both ends, to add at the end and to add in the beginning. You know, one of the reasons that, you know, we'll talk about Tosefta Shabbos again. We're probably not going to get, I don't know, maybe we'll start it today, but we'll get into more detail. Yes.
Are there mouse specifically excluding Yom Kippur? I'm still stuck on this Kol Nidre.
Yeah. The Ramah, about the Tanai, about the stipulation. You're saying would there be a difference? No. So, I mean, there is less to rely upon. Certainly the Tanai believe, I would certainly stipulate it explicitly on Yom Kippur. Again, the Ramah, I believe part of what's allowing the Ramah to be so lenient is because the Ramban. The Ramban agrees on Yom Kippur, it's different. But still, the Ramban wouldn't say it because of lighting candles. But in general, okay, let me pause.
Or should you not say Shachianu until you get to Kol Nidre?
If you know you're going to be driving to Shul, sorry. So let's, if you know you're going to be driving to Shul, then you should say Shachianu at Kol Nidre. Yes.
As opposed to candles.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So let's go to the Magen Avraham, source 28. The Magen Avraham is one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. He writes, "Umikamakom nirali." He's commenting on the Ramah. Okay. The Magen Avraham is one of the also very influential, important Ashkenazi poskim. He writes, "De'ein lahasnos." This whole notion of a stipulation should not be done kim litzorech, unless there is a need. Me'acher sheyesh cholkin, because there are those who argue. Okay. Because there are those who argue. De'im lo kein tivarech tchila v'tisne. He says, what's his proof? The Magen Avraham brings a very interesting proof that the minhag of Ashkenaz is actually that you only do this in an important situation. What's his proof? His proof is as follows. And now let's take a step back. There's a general concept of making brachos over lasiyasan, before we do the mitzvah, right? So we all just lit Chanukah candles. What did we do? We said, and then we lit, right? We didn't light and then say the bracha. Why did we do so? Because that's what we're always supposed to do. There's two notable exceptions. One, before we get to Shabbos candles, is, anyone know? Tehillas Yadayim, right? Washing our hands. Really, you should make the bracha before Okay, there are poskim who said you should say Asher Kedushan is supposed to tefillin until Sadaim and then wash your hands, because you always make a bracha before. Before I put on my talis, I say, you know, I say the bracha on the talis, then I put my talis on, right? You always make a bracha, just like when you, I said a bracha on my drink, and then I drink it. I always make a bracha before. There are, so for Netzilas Yadayim, okay, we're not going to get into right now, my hands are not necessarily clean, and therefore I first wash my hands, and then I make the bracha, and therefore I'm almost compelled to do it backwards. But that's backwards. Really, I should always be making a bracha before. So similarly, with Shabbos candles, I should really be saying, Asher Kedushan is supposed to be tefillin l'hadik ner shel Shabbos, strike the match or whatever, and light the candles. Do any of you do that? No. You light the candles. You probably cover your eyes. Maybe some of you mystically, whatever, wave your hands. You cover your eyes, right? And then you go ahead and you, right? You cover your eyes, make the bracha, and then you uncover your eyes, right? Why do you do that? You do that because of this whole discussion, right? In other words, what the reason we do that, or again, I keep on saying you do that, is because in saying the bracha, the assumption is that you've accepted Shabbos. And therefore, if I would say, Lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, I wouldn't be able to light the candles anymore. I'd be stuck. And therefore, I light the candles, it's not yet Shabbos. Then I cover my eyes as a way of not benefiting from the light at all, because that's the whole function. It's not just the lighting, it's really the benefit of the light. So after lighting, I immediately cover my eyes, or again, you cover your eyes, you say the bracha, and then you remove your hands from your eyes, you benefit from the light, and in doing so, you accepted Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham says, look, clearly Ashkenazi Jews believe that in saying the bracha, you accepted Shabbos, right? And if it was just, and if we read the Ramah on face value, that if I ever had any need whatsoever, I could just make the stipulation in my mind, then what's with this whole Mishigas? Why don't I just every single Shabbos say, I'm not accepting Shabbos in doing so, because I'm not. Why? I should say the bracha, not accepting Shabbos when I do so, light the candles like a normal person, right? And extinguish the candle, and then accept Shabbos, right? I don't think I'm being so clear. I'm going to say this again, right? The Ramah, if we read the Ramah on face value, he said, if whenever I want, I could just make a stipulation that by saying the bracha, lighting the candles, I'm not accepting Shabbos. So why don't you go ahead every single Shabbos, say, light the candles, and only afterwards accept Shabbos. Why don't you do that? Instead, we have this convoluted thing of covering your eyes so you only benefit after. It's a funny thing. It's not a normal way to make brachos. It's this whole funny procedure we're doing. Why? Because we're so sensitive that as soon as I made the bracha, I accepted Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham therefore concludes, clearly, this notion of making a stipulation is only when there's a real need. It's not just willy-nilly. It's not just for whatever reason, because I want to say the bracha of the prophet. No. I can only do this if I have a real need. Should I repeat this? Am I being clear? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you all with me? Right? So the Magen Avraham is proving that clearly this notion of the stipulation is only something that is done for a real need and not just because. Yes?
That also means that if you're making a stipulation, you
can say the bracha first. You could. We'll come back to that question. There are those who might argue. There's no reason not to. Exactly. And so some poskim say, stick to the, be consistent. Yes.
How can you think that accepting, that saying bracha is accepting Shabbat if you haven't lit the candle?
You're saying it makes no sense.
Make a bracha. Just sit here in your room and make a bracha, and then you've accepted Shabbat? You're sitting in a room, a dark room, and you're sitting by yourself on your chair, and you go, you know, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedushan is supposed to be ner shel Shabbat, and then it's Shabbat for you? You haven't lit the candles. Doesn't the action, I mean, don't you need the action? Isn't it, it may or may not be sufficient, but isn't it necessary?
It's necessary only to, the short answer is no. Technically speaking, it would be the through the bracha alone, meaning, let's go back to the Bahag. He was saying bracha, bracha. That was his jump. He was saying, just like when you say Shachianu, so too when you say Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. Now, once I say that bracha, it's like saying a shahako without drinking any liquid. So I have to light the candles because I said a bracha. But in terms of the what triggers Shabbos, his argument was that verbalization of Shabbos, it was is the trigger for Shabbos.
So why doesn't Lahadlik Ner Shel Yom Tov bring in Yom Kippur?
I'm just going
to. Why wouldn't it? Would it would unless you make a stipulation? So meaning
he said Shachianu.
He's saying
You said the Shekhiano brings it in. She's asking why is it not
the bracha itself?
Candle bracha.
You're asking the Bahag or what I said a few moments ago?
The Bahag.
No, the Bahag was talking, he was not talking about lighting there. He was saying, just like, because there's a Gemara that talks about the fact that Shekhiano, when you accepts Yom Kippur. She's saying, just like it's true there, it's true for lighting. Lighting on Yom Kippur, lighting on... Now, the Gemara talks about Shekhiano because it's also talking about men, and therefore for men, they're not lighting. The Shekhiano would be relevant to them, right? But in terms of your question, you know, what you're asking on a practical level, you'd have to stipulate for the lighting, but then the Shekhiano would be said.
If you live far enough from shul that you can't make Kol Nidre, the time between lighting and Kol Nidre is very short. If you live a 20-minute walk away,
right,
you're not going to make it.
Correct.
You drive.
Correct.
So you're saying just light.
Stipulate verbally, light, drive for Shekhiano. Yeah.
So what if it's Yontif and Yontif you light differently than, say,
Yontif, you don't,
let's say the second day Yontif, you can light any time you want.
Right. Good. We'll come back to Yom Tov. Good question. Yeah. Very important question. Okay. So again, you follow the Magen Avraham. Basically, okay. So again, let's just review. The Ramah is saying Minhag Ashkenaz is that we do accept Shabbos by lighting candles. And the proof to the fact that we're there, and then the Ramah says if you want, you can make the stipulation. The Magen Avraham is saying it doesn't just mean if you want. Right? It's just because, like, oh, I'm not in the mood. I want to watch a few more, like, YouTube clips, and therefore I could make this tonight. No. He's saying there's a need. How do I know there's a need? Because the fact that every single Shabbos, I'm doing this whole backward bracha thing shows me that there must be a real need, or else every single Shabbos would just be able to make, I would say, oh, I'm not accepting Shabbos, make the bracha light, and everything would be good. The fact that I have this whole backward thing shows me that it's for a need. Now, what is the definition of a need? A need could be is rather subjective. So writes the Piskei Tshuvos in source 29. Vilonis bar beber ma litzorech. He says it's not clear what exactly a need is. Imudaf litzorech davar hanachutz litzorech Shabbos. Is it for something very important for the needs of Shabbos? O gam shar dvar mitzvah, or for a mitzvah? O afilu akal davar shi truda v'nich bezalav, or it's just something they're busy. They want to, I don't know, I need a few more minutes to pay my bills or whatever. Something that's important for me. V'meikel yesh lo al mi lismo. Someone who is lenient has what to rely upon. V'chol shekein b'makom choli v'chol sha. Certainly, if it helps a person who is ill or even a person who's weak, it would help. Okay, let's see two more sources about. The Piskei Tshuvos is writing this. This is a collection, not that long ago. He's really summarizing a number of views. So he's writing this in the. You'll see the next page, and you'll appreciate a little bit more.
Very 20th century.
Oh, yeah. He's writing this in the 20th century. He's writing this not that long. It could even be short. Yeah, okay. Well, that doesn't really... V'nechpezes alav. Okay, yeah. It's modern Hebrew. Yeah. Okay, source 30. So this is from the Shmir Shabbos Kalichasai. He writes, U'me'agoin Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach Shlita Shamati Zanasiya Lekosel HaMa'aravi. Okay, this comes up all the time. In Israel, a person wants to light at home, and then they want to go to the Kotel to go daven Marav. You know, it's beautiful, davening at the Kotel. Lo nechsheves letzorech sheyeh mutzer lo lasu tznai. The Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, not enough. You need a bigger need. We're not done. Source 31 says that Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, he writes, Vim Kain, im alicha. So he quotes, he's quoting Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger was, again, one of the real leading poskim. He says, and Rabbi Akiva Eger ruled that a person is allowed to do this if they want to get to a wedding. Okay? Back in the day, keep in mind, they used to very often get married on Friday nights. They'd have weddings on Friday nights. So a person wants to light at home and then get into like a wagon or whatever to go travel to a wedding, which was a little bit further away. So he says, and Rabbi Akiva Eger said, that's fine. He says, Im kein malich le zachopa be'ir, sovrim haderechayim vagon, Rabbi Akiva Eger, shnikra zel etzorech, shetuchel asnos aleha. He says, if going to a wedding, and you're a participant in a wedding, you know, you're not even, you know, do you fulfill the mitzvah? You know, we hopefully will fulfill a mitzvah at a wedding, but you don't necessarily fulfill a mitzvah. You have to really be misamech, the chas nekal. It's like a suffix. Maybe I'll fulfill a mitzvah. Maybe I won't fulfill a mitzvah. It's a nice thing to do. Mikol shekein, if you could go for a wedding, for sure, v'kav v'chomer sheyesh lomar shalich lekos ma'aravi, nikolat zorech, certainly to go daven at such a holy place, that's certainly a need. V'tuchal shaper lahasnos mishum kach aleha ba'osa erev Shabbos, and she can make a stipulation, she'retzona lechas sham, sha'adena ena mekabelas aleha Shabbos, but lekas ner b'vayis, and that she could stipulate and then go to the kotel with the stipulation. So Waldenberg and rules much more leniently. The bottom line is, and it's certainly to go to shul You know, if you're going to go to shul, you're going to go to Yom Kippur nights, or you're going to go to shul, you're going to go somewhere to daven, 100% that is done for a mitzvah. If you're going to a friend's house, you know, the poskim say, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. Again, if you're stuck, if that's the only way you're going to go, it's for your Suda Shabbos, ultimately it's permitted. You know, if you can, you know, I would light at home, accept Shabbos, and then walk. But if it's not, if it's too hard, then you certainly, as the Piskei Tshuvos wrote, you certainly have what to rely upon. So again, just let's quickly summarize. For that the Rama says that I can make the stipulation before lighting candles to not accept Shabbos. I can even do so in my mind. The Magen Avraham said it has to be a need. The need is undefined. You know, there's a spectrum of views. Certainly, if you're going to go to daven, there's certainly what to rely upon. If you're going to go to someone's house, there's perhaps less to rely upon. But if you need to, there's certainly what to rely upon. So you're going to a friend's house who's like 5 blocks away, or 6 blocks, whatever, very far, and it's hard for you to walk, it's cold, whatever it is, there's certainly, you know, and it's very hard for you, then there's certainly what to rely upon. You make the stipulation, you light, get in the car, you drive to their house. Yes.
I don't think so.
Yeah. This is a tzarech. It's a, yeah.
The other question is, didn't we learn that it's better if you're eating out to not light at your house, if it's not going to be lit when you get back, or you do the whole thing?
Yeah, yeah. If you have to make sure. Right. Yeah. Separate discussion. Yeah. But you have to make sure that you're going to benefit from the lights on Shabbos itself, on at nightfall. Yeah. Okay, let's go a little further. So now we get a little out of order. This is source 32, one page 127. This is the Maharal Wheel or Vial, 15th century scholar. He writes, Mixas Nashim Noagos. Some women have the custom. Shemalikim Haneros. They light the candles. Va'achakach Mesimim Yedeim Prusos Neged Haneros. And then they place their hands spread out, blocking the candles. You ever seen it done that way? Blocking the candles? No, I think.
I've seen prints. No. Old
prince. Oh, really? Interesting. Okay. So this goes back. This, again, he says this is the old minag, that they would block the candles. It's the same idea. You know, you could block it like this, you could block it like that. Same idea, right? And then they make the bracha, v'acharkach misalkim yedeihem, and then they remove their hands. Okay, ha deparsim yedeihem, that they spread their hands out, kehechid lahaver over lasiyasam. It's in order to ensure that it's this kind of making sure that the bracha is kind of said before the mitzvah. Now, even though, again, they lit the candle, you lit the candles first, right? They don't want to make the bracha before the lighting. Because if they did so, they would have already accepted Shabbos, and you wouldn't be able to light afterwards, right? So again, that's the whole reason that a person either covers the candles or covers their eyes is in order to ensure that the bracha that is then said is then, you know, then you're blocking the, you say the bracha, you don't have any benefit. After you say the bracha, you see the candles, and therefore you have some benefits, right? So that's, it's a bit of a convoluted way of ensuring that it's over lasiyas. And I kept on saying earlier, this is true for women, right? And that goes really back to the Shulchan Aruch, because this whole notion is that the minag was that women accepted Shabbos by lighting candles. This was never, you know, it's a novel notion. It's a novel notion that lighting candles is a way of accepting Shabbos, as we see, right? Again, the Ramban and others point out, you're not accepting Shabbos by lighting candles, but the minag developed that women did indeed accept Shabbos by lighting candles. So this minag never developed for men, as stereotypically, oftentimes, it was the women who were lighting, right? And therefore, the halacha is that if a man were to light candles, whenever I light candles in my house, my wife's not around, I'll say the bracha lighting neshal Shabbos, a light, because I accept Shabbos when I get to shul. Whatever, that's when I accept candles, accept Shabbos, and therefore men lighting would say the bracha first and then light the candles, but women do the opposite. Okay? One more halacha, and then we'll just mention a couple of things verbally. Source on page 129, source 35. Kasav Rabbeinu HaBeis Yosef. This is from the Aruch HaShulchan. He writes as follows. The Beis Yosef writes Pesif Yod. Shemimneze Noagos Ktsas Nashim. Sha'achar Shiliku Esaneris Bebracha. Mashlichos Eretz Apsila. After they light the candles with the bracha, they throw the wick, or the, in our days, the match, onto the floor. Shebiyadan in their hand, shelikuba that they lit with, veimechabososa, and they don't extinguish the wick. Venira, or the match. Venira de osa nashim, barchu mikodem halaka. He says, the Shulchan Aruch who said that, it must be referring to people who said the bracha first. Dilo hayim avarchas acharkach. Because had they said the brachas afterwards, halo hayu cholos lechabos adayin kodem abracha. What meaning? The way that we practice is we say the bracha at the end, right? And when do we accept Shabbos? When do you accept Shabbos? When you say the bracha. So if I'm holding that wick, I lit the candles, you're holding the wick, did you accept Shabbos yet? No. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, the fact that I'm still lighting things, until I say the bracha, I didn't accept Shabbos. Zeh b'shita konam bracha lo havi kabbalah Shabbos dayin. Certainly, before I make the bracha, I didn't accept Shabbos. Ulefi zeh, and according to this, nashim shalanu, shemivarchos achar alaka, the women in our communities, meaning Ashkenazic women, who say the bracha after the lighting, like I believe you all do, shapir chos lechabos, you're allowed to extinguish the wick, the match. V'achrach yuvarchu, okay, and then they make the bracha, chemedumani, shekena minag, that is the custom in Pikwak Bazaar, and there's no issue with that. What I'm curious...
Isn't the match part of the lighting?
But that's fine, until I say the bracha... Right? Until I say the bracha, everyone's going to agree. Until I say the bracha, I'm curious. Right? Until I say the bracha, you didn't accept Shabbos. Curious. Did you put out your match or you just drop it?
Drop it.
Anyone put it out?
No. You put it. Candles, right?
Sorry?
Is that some people don't blow out candles at all? I mean, I
don't know. Yeah, could be. Could be. It's a.
As you don't blow out candles, you don't blow out a match?
Yeah, yeah. People are. Yeah. It's a thing. No, it's not my thing. It's a thing.
No, I understand the candles, but now you
Blow out. Any fire. Yeah. Okay, so the bottom line is, you all have what you rely upon, but if you don't like dropping that, you know, you don't have somewhere, sometimes like, where do I put it, whatever it is, you know, there's nowhere to put it, for 100% is it, it's mutter. I'm not saying to stop, but it's...
Why are we not, I was taught, don't blow it out, but why?
The assumption is that once I finish lighting the shot, meaning the... It's
because you're not putting the light out until you
I finished lighting Shabbos candles, so maybe already at the lighting the Shabbos candles, I accepted Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan says that's not true. That's why we're doing a covering of our eyes. And it's really only at the bracha that we accepted Shabbos. It's really, there's no issue whatsoever to blow out that wick, okay?
Are there any sources that say don't blow it out?
I believe there are, but it's, the Aruch HaShulchan's a pretty compelling. Okay, my wife does not put out the wick, the match, okay? Whatever, but bottom line, I don't know, whatever. Okay, it's not like a big deal, but is it mutter? It's 100% mutter. We'll come back to Yom Tov in a second, but on Shabbos, it's 100% mutter based on the Aruch HaShulchan too. So, yes?
I use a lighter, one of those lighter things.
Yeah.
Is that the same concept of blowing it out, or like you just...
No, you're saying, wait, in terms of blowing out candles?
Oh,
I don't think so. No, you're just, it's a cessation. It's like turning off, you turn off your gas, right? I mean, then it's even easier, and you're just dropping it. But yeah, yes.
So. You can put out the match without blowing it.
You can just shake it. Yeah. But some people, there are people here, and again, my wife grew up doing, so she just does it. But basically, she lights the candles, and she drops it into like a thing, like some foil or a mat, into a glass, not to extinguish it. But as Aruch HaShulchan is pointing out, something has to give. It doesn't make sense. If we're covering our eyes, that means we're saying we didn't accept Shabbos until you say the bracha. That is our minhag. And therefore, if you lit the Shabbos candles and you're like, there's a light. I didn't say the bracha yet, right? I shouldn't do this because I want to be, the light over here has to be changed or I have to plug in the chilling pot. You run over, you plug the chilling pot. Again, you're not supposed to delay between, but technically, you didn't accept Shabbos yet until you said the bracha. Again, I'm not recommending that. You're supposed to say the bracha right away, but bottom line is, it'd be permitted. Was there another hand? Yes. Not today.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so let's just quickly talk about Yom Tov very briefly. He doesn't talk about it inside, but just two very important things. So one, technically on Yom Tov, what do you do? I'm curious.
First,
do you?
Anyone?
I don't know. Let's just do you cover your eyes on Yom Tov when you light? No, anybody?
So the
Mishnah Berurah brings down two opinions, and he says one opinion is to do this covering your eyes. Why? Not for any logical reason, other than the fact that consistency is important, right? In other words, it gets confusing people. Yes, sometimes no. And so basically, we have that concept in halacha sometimes that we basically do things all the time. Again, there's nothing, I wouldn't say it's wrong. It's certainly, there's nothing wrong. But wait, do you say the bracha first and then you light?
Yes.
While I'm lighting.
While you're lighting? Interesting. Okay, I would say it before. You're not supposed to do something while you make a bracha. But some people would light. But on Yom Tov, based on everything we learned, right, you're allowed to light a candle on Yom Tov, right? So there'd be no issue whatsoever in saying the bracha and then lighting, right? Because you're allowed to, again, you're allowed to light, again, to start a new flame on Yom Tov, so let's just keep it simple. Day two, just for simplicity's sake. Or if you lit your Yahrzeit candle, you're going to light from later, and you're using that to start, you're not starting a new flame, right? So on Yom Tov, first day or second day, you can make the bracha and then light the candles afterwards. That's totally fine because you're allowed to be moving a flame on Yom Tov. Yes.
So I learned that, there's an opinion that you should always do it the same way because you won't, don't want to get confused on mm-hmm. Shabbos. I'm like, mm-hmm. that's never going to happen to me, right? And then it was the second day of Yom Tov, it was also Shabbos.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, look, it happened to me. So that's after that I started.
Okay, yeah, it's a machlo. The Mishnah Berurah brings down two opinions. The Mishnah Berurah brings us to an opinion. I'm not going to say, you know, one's better than the other, but yeah, there are those who argue, don't want to get confused, and the others say, no, it doesn't make any sense. Bottom line, you say the bracha, and then light, so again, whichever way you're going. Yes, go ahead.
So, if it's Yom Tov, can I drop the match?
That's the thing I wanted to get into. So on Yom Tov, you can...
Right.
Right, so to put out a fire that without like using the fire, like you're allowed to like lower a flame, or even if there's a fire, like you're, but to put out a fire on Yom Tov, you cannot do. You could light thing, you could move fire, but to put it out. So on Yom Tov, whereas on Shabbos, so interestingly, right, on Shabbos it seems a little counterintuitive. On Shabbos, when you're lighting Erev Shabbos, you'd be allowed to blow it out. You know, you'd be allowed to blow it out based on what we're saying. But it's second day Yom Tov. Right? So Yom Tov already started, right? The first day, you know, until you make the bracha, but it depends how you do it. But second day Yom Tov, you cannot extinguish a fire. So there on Yom Tov, it's much, there you have to just drop the match and allow it to go out on its own. You would not be allowed to blow it out, right? So it's kind of, again, a little counterintuitive, but that on Yom Tov, you cannot put out the match, whereas on Shabbos, or the first day of Yom Tov, you would be allowed to, as long as you didn't say the bracha yet.
You should drop it carefully so it doesn't...
Yeah. Just be safe. Yes, 100%.
You're probably not using a match the second day of Yom Tov anyway. You're probably using a candle.
No, I don't know. My wife takes a match from the first the candle and lights and then drops it.
Right, especially, like, I usually light from my candles, but some people have those oil things. So mm-hmm. you have to use something other
else
than
to go ahead, right.
The candle thing that you're lighting. But it occurs to me that that's something I don't think about very much is blowing out the match. Because I do, or even, you know, dropping it or whatever so that it'll go out on the first day of Yom Tov, because that's a day that you can really make that mistake because you're saying the bracha first.
Correct. So,
you have to remember
correct. So if you do, you know, you do what the Mishnah Berurah does, I was just suggesting that you just be consistent, then on the first day of Yom Tov, you would be allowed to blow it out because you didn't accept Yom Tov until you made the bracha. But if it seems like what many of you do, let's just do a quick summary, okay? Let's do a quick summary over here of all the halachas we just learned, okay? Bottom line is that the Ashkenazi minhag is that when a woman lights Shabbos candles, she accepts Shabbos upon herself. If you make a stipulation, and as we saw later in the later postgame, for a need, and again, it's a little bit ambiguous what a need is, certainly a big need, you certainly have what to rely upon. A smaller need, try, but if you need to, what to rely upon? You need to get to shul, 100%. Again, there are postgame will say, no, shul's not enough, as we saw, shul's not, but... You're asking me, 100%, you're going to shul, 100%, you have what to rely upon, and you can make a tanai, you can make a stipulation, and that's totally fine. This does play a role to extinguishing, so the Aruch HaShulchan is pointing out that on Shabbos, when you are making the bracha after the light, anytime you're making the bracha after the lighting, then you'd be allowed to extinguish your match because you didn't yet accept Shabbos, you're lighting candles, you didn't accept Shabbos yet, but anytime that you are first making the bracha, then you wouldn't be allowed to because then the candle lighting itself is the accepting of Shabbos and you'd be or Yom Tov and you'd have to just drop the match. And similarly on Yom Tov, for more technical reasons of Yom Tov, you wouldn't be allowed second day of Yom Tov, you certainly are not allowed to put out the match. So I would just in your head, Yom Tov always drop the match. On Shabbos you'd be allowed to blow it out if you want. Okay? Yes.
So I have a question about stipulation.
Yeah.
Whether it's explicit or not. So if your oven is still on and you have a fire on, no bluff, and the TV's on and everything's on and you haven't done all that stuff, is that not stipulation enough?
Yeah, but I would... are you saying that that's an implicit stipulation?
Right. It's obvious that you have right. this intention to keep finish things up after.
Right. But was a person not thinking that when they were...
I'm saying, let's say you said, oh, I forgot to say, but I'm not.
No, so again, we saw the Ramas, as long as you had it in your mind. But if let's say you didn't know that their TV was on, you just didn't know that.
No, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, if you knew.
I mean, like, everything is still ablaze.
Correct.
And,
no pun intended.
You know, it's like, oh, I better go and light candles before I forget.
Yeah.
So
the Ramah says, certainly that's okay. Some posts can say, better to state out loud, but the Ramah said, and there's certainly what to rely upon, if you had it in your mind, you knew that you were going to go do those things after, 100% it's fine. Yes.
Light a little bit later and take out all of your
malacha
first than to light with stipulation and light on time.
I would agree. Yes.
In terms of Yom